We're going to get God's Word open now. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, please just put a hand up and one of our team would love to bring you one. This morning we're going to spend some time in a letter in the New Testament called Hebrews. You'll find that today on page 1202. If you're visiting us this morning, our habit is simply to work through books of the Bible. But today, we have a free Sunday. So Christmas weekend and the Christmas kind of things going on next week. We finished up Philemon. And so actually, this is a great privilege for me as a pastor to just bring something personal that has been on my heart to help us this morning as a church family. And so I want to read from chapter 2, verse 5 through to verse 18. It is not to the angels that he subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by grace, the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through that what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Friends, let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at this portion of the Bible together. Father, we believe in the power of your word to bring us consolation and comfort in the places we find ourselves. Father, please comfort us with your word today. Please help us. Please lift our eyes to Jesus, that we might lean more fully upon him this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me ask you this morning, as we approach kind of the Christmas weekend, as it were, is Christmas something that crushes you, or is it something that comforts you? Is Christmas something, as we approach the coming weekend, is it something that you cringe at? And not because it's cheesy and there's lots of kind of tinsel and things, but you cringe at it because it makes you kind of wince and hang back. Does it make you clench up? Or does it come alongside you and comfort you in various ways? For some of us, Christmas is not something that we're looking forward to. It's not something that actually we're enjoying being part of right now. For many, Christmas may bring up raw memories or bring to the surface grief. For some, it is a time of conflict where families feel the need to get together and yet there are relationships that are just strained and hard and people end up arguing and fighting. For some, it's a time of forcing a smile, joining in with the fun and the activities, but actually all we really want to do is just run and hide. For many, we need to acknowledge this morning, the Christmas season crushes rather than comforts. It's something people want to run from rather than run to and enjoy. And as a church family, I think as we draw near to the end of a year, as a family of believers, people seeking to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, I feel like we have found ourselves this year in a season of sufferings. We have a weekly prayer sheet as a church family, and it's full every week. It is full of sadness and sickness and suffering. I think it's been a tough year, hasn't it, for us as a church family? Do you think so? Sorry, I knew I wouldn't get through this morning. And when one part of the body hurts, the whole of the body hurts. That's how a body works. That's why Jesus made us a church, so that we might walk together and be together and help one another in suffering. And many of us, because of suffering, may not feel like doing Christmas this year. Many of us may not want to walk towards this season of sadness and suffering, so season that we're in because of our sufferings. And simply what I want to do this morning is try to share with us as a church family some of what I want to call the comforts of Christmas. The comforts of Christmas when we find ourselves as a church in a season of sadness and a season of sufferings. And I want to take as my text this morning, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. This is all I want us to look at this morning. This is a verse that's been on my heart a lot this week. And we read here, for this reason, now we have to understand what reason before we kind of move forward. For this reason, that is the reason that God wants to help humans, not angels. He wants to help Abraham's descendants, not angels. For this reason, he, that is the Lord Jesus, had to be made like them, Abraham's descendants, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Friends, here is the comfort of Christmas, okay? In a season of sufferings, here is the comforts of Christmas. And I'm going to put it like this, and then we'll just work through it. Jesus became one of us in order to sympathize with us and to be a savior for us. That is the comforts of Christmas. Jesus became one of us to sympathize with us and to be a savior for us. And all I'm going to do is work through those this morning. So first of all, Jesus became one of us. Just look with me how verse 17 starts. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Now that, although this isn't a Christmas verse, that is the core truth that we are celebrating at Christmas. We are celebrating this mysterious reality that sits at the heart of the Nativity story. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, Jesus who brought this world into existence just a page earlier will tell you that. This Jesus became one of us. He entered this universe which he had made, and he took on flesh and blood. It's what we call the incarnation. If you know that word, we often use that at Christmas. God with flesh, God taking on flesh. With flesh and blood, he became like us. An old hymn writer, Charles Wesley, puts it like this: our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. We steal that line often from that hymn, but the whole hymn is him wondering and marveling at this reality that God, the Almighty God, above creation, would enter into creation. I've not seen it, I'm afraid, but I've heard there's a TV program called The Undercover Boss. Has anyone seen this program? A few of you are nodding. I've not seen it, but it sounds great. But the idea of this TV program is that executives leave the comfort of their offices and their management position, and they take on low-level jobs within their company. They work alongside those who work for them, and they do it undercover so no one knows who they are, but then they experience the realities of working for their company. They experience the everyday of being an employee. And in a similar way, the Lord Jesus at Christmas, what we call Christmas, was entering in, as it were. He was leaving heaven, leaving the boardroom of the universe, and he was entering into the lowest of positions to encounter what it is to live as part of his world. But he was not pretending. He wasn't pulling on a disguise. He wasn't kind of acting something out for a TV show. Now look again at verse 17. What does it tell us? He was made fully human. Just weigh that for a moment. Fully human in every way. Now, friends, if we're going to get the comfort of these words for us, we have to let that begin to sink in. Because to be fully human doesn't just mean physically human, does it? Although Jesus did take on flesh. So look at verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity, which is to be physically made of the same stuff we are, to have flesh and to have blood. But it also means to enter into the full experience of being human, the full emotions of being human, to laugh and to cry, to labor and to be tired, to be tempted and to be tested, to do stuff that we know is wrong, but we're just drawn towards it, to be sad, to be happy, to be hungry, and to be well fed. Just weigh that for a moment. Jesus took on the full experience of being human. And when Hebrews 2 tells us that he was made fully human in every way, it's not just telling us that he was made of the same stuff as us. It is telling us and assuring us that Jesus entered the full experience that we have of being humans in this world. You don't have to live long in this world to know that to be human is to suffer. Some of you will have heard of Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher. If you've never heard of him, you will have heard of this phrase, I think, that he used. He says, to live is to suffer. Can you identify with that? To live is to suffer, and ultimately, to live is to suffer death. Any read of the gospel accounts will tell you that our Lord Jesus was not immune to this aspect of being human. We meet a man in the Gospels who was familiar with sufferings from his birth. How many of us were born in a cowshed? From birth, he was a man who had to flee from those who hated him, flee from those who wanted to take his life. As you read the Gospels, what you meet is a man who was homeless and often hungry. You meet a man who was hated. You meet a man who was tempted to sin in every way as we were, and yet was without sin. You meet a man who was falsely accused. You meet a man who was tortured. You meet a man who was nailed to a cross. And ultimately, we meet a man who experienced death. Does Jesus know what it is to be human? Does he know what it is to be fully human? Does he know what it is to be you? Yes, he does. He really knows what it is. And in our season of sufferings, perhaps as a church family, this year that we look back on, the comforts as we approach Christmas is that our God, the God we gather to worship here every week, the God who we praise with our lips and pray to and try to walk with in the week, our God is not aloof from our sufferings. He's not at a distance from our sufferings, but he is a God who rolled up his sleeves, who entered into our creation and experienced our sufferings. He doesn't just know about them, he has experienced them. He has fully participated in what it means to be human. And feel free to correct me afterwards. But as far as I know from my studies and my talking to people of other religions and other faiths, no other God can offer you that kind of comfort. God gets it because he's lived it. God gets our sufferings because he's been one of us. Jesus became one of us. That is the great comforts of Christmas. And why? Why did he become one of us? Why did he shrink himself down? Why did he share our flesh and blood? Well, in order to sympathize with us. Look how verse 17 goes on. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. Jesus became one of us so that he could become an effective, merciful, and faithful high priest. Now again, if we're going to squeeze the comforts out of this part of the Bible, we need to think about these words. Merciful. This word, merciful, for Jesus to be a merciful high priest is the word to sympathize. It is the word that we use to reflect being concerned for someone in their suffering, to be concerned about their needs, to be concerned about people's sadnesses and their sicknesses and their sufferings. Jesus became one of us to carry out the God-assigned role of being a high priest. Now, for many of us, we might think, high priest, what on earth is that? You know, like that sounds a bit kind of mysterious. Well, it's steeped in the Old Testament. So if we're going to understand a high priest, we have to kind of go back into the Old Testament. And we discover that God appointed this one priest among all the other priests who would, in effect, kind of join heaven and earth. Who would bring heaven's help down to the people and who would bring the people to God. And this person, this high priest, sat in that role. And Jesus comes to take on this role of being a merciful, a sympathetic, and faithful, trustworthy high priest. See, what does Christmas declare to you? What does it declare to us as a church family? It declares to us that God is concerned for you. God wants to bring his help to you because he is merciful and he is faithful. Jesus cares about our sufferings. And as high priest who has fully entered into the experience of being human, there is no one better fitted, is there, amongst humans to bridge that gap between heaven and earth. No one better fitted to understand our sufferings and to bring the help of heaven to us. So just look at verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is the one who came to help those who are being tempted. Now we think of that word and we think, oh, I'm tempted to eat that chocolate cake when I'm on a diet, or I'm tempted to sin in this particular way. But the word that we translate tempted means it's much broader than just being tempted to sin. It's the word tested. So Jesus was tested in every way. And friends, don't sufferings and trials test us? And Jesus is able to help those who are being tested, whose faith is being tested, who are being tried. He is able to help us. Why? Because he himself was tested by his sufferings, by his trials. Jesus is able to help those, come to the aid of those, render his help to those of us who are suffering. Just flick over a page if you've got a Bible there to chapter 4 and verse 15. It kind of expands this idea a little bit, but this is what it says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Friends, will you let the Christmas story this year, as it declares to you Jesus who became one of you, to become someone who can sympathize with you, will you let the Christmas story cause you to run to him for help, to run to him for the mercy that we need? Jesus is the one who can bring all the helps of heaven, all the mercy of heaven, all the sympathy of heaven, right down into your situation as you go to him for help. Seek his help. Approach the throne of grace. The comforts of Christmas for us is that Jesus became one of us in order to sympathize with us. But he also came not just to sympathize with us, but to save us from our sufferings. Jesus came to be a savior for us. Look again at verse 17. Look how it goes on. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. If I was to ask you, what would you pick as the number one cause of suffering in our world, what would you say? I guess we pick lots of things, and it might change from year to year or moment to moment. People might say, well, you know, it's people's aggression, or it's people's hatred, or it might be poverty. We might pick all sorts of reasons. But what does Hebrews tell us is the number one reason for suffering? Well, look at verse 14 and 15. Let's just follow this through. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. What's the number one cause of suffering in our world? It's death. It is the fear of death. It is the slavery to fear of death. It is our captivity to the devil who holds us, or till Jesus came, held the power of death. And yet Jesus became one of us, entering into the full experience of being one of us, being human, including death, so that he might be a savior to us. He might be a savior from our fear of death, a savior to us in these moments of slavery to fearing death. You see, follow with me what we're told. Verse 9, let's just see what happens. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor. Why? Look carefully, because he, what does it say? Suffered death. He suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And verse 14, the verse we've just read, in the middle it says, so that by his death, Jesus suffered death. He suffered it. Even he lived his life under the fear of it, because he knew what was coming. You only have to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane when you see the fear in Jesus because of what he would face in death. He lived under the fear of it. Why? So that he could save people like us from it, from the fear of death. He came to set us free from the fear from death by entering into death for us. Friends, how does his death set us free from the fear of death? Well, because Jesus came to be a high priest, not just to sympathize with us, to bring mercy to us, but in order to make atonement for the sins of his people. Have a look very carefully at the end of verse 17. You see that there? That he might make atonement for the sins of the people. He didn't just come to bring heaven's help down to us, but he came in order to bring us up to heaven. He came to join us together. He came to deal with sin. That's what we're thinking about with the kids, isn't it? Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Sin is the great barrier that keeps humanity from God. It keeps us from him now, and it keeps us from him eternally. And when Jesus came and he entered death, when he was hanging on that cross, what was he doing? Well, it tells us that he was making atonement. To make atonement for something is to wipe it out. It is to eradicate it. It is to remove our sins. He was removing the barrier that keeps us from God and God from us. As a priest, he offered the sacrifice that was needed to make atonement for the sins of those who come to him. If you know the Old Testament, you'll know that the high priest, just once a year, they had this big, elaborate day called the Day of Atonement. This day when there was a series of sacrifices that would, once a year, symbolically bring the people near to God as their sins were atoned for. But Jesus didn't come just to act out that day and to repeat the acting out of that day. Jesus came to be an atoning sacrifice for us. By his once-for-all sacrifice, our sins have been paid for, and the fear of death is removed. Friends, let me just read you a couple of verses from later in Hebrews. This is really, I think 2:17, actually, if you're interested in this kind of thing, it's a summary verse for the rest of the book, and maybe some point we'll come and preach Hebrews. But it's so key, and the themes are kind of then unpicked in the rest of this book. But listen to what it says about Jesus as our Savior, not just because he came to offer the sacrifices, but because he was the sacrifice. It says this: unlike the other high priests, that's the ones of the past, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. No, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. And again in Hebrews 10, verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Friends, Jesus came to save us from the fear of death, to be a savior for us, not just to be merciful to us and bring us sympathy in our sufferings, but to remove the suffering. Not now, but when he returns again and he promises to remove all the sufferings of this world. Can I ask you this morning, have you let Jesus be a savior to you? Have you asked him to save you from the fear of death? Have you asked him yet to atone for your sins? Why not do it now? Don't leave here this morning without receiving the comforts of Christmas that Jesus would atone for. The very things that keep you from God, the very reasons that make death something to fear. Friends, here is a comfort of Christmas. That Jesus is a savior for us. That he makes atonement for us. That he has the power to break the power that the devil had over us, over death. To free us from our slavery to fear of death. Hallelujah, what a savior. I think it's been a tough year. It's a tough year as a church family. Many sicknesses, many sadnesses, many sufferings, some of which we will know about, others that we won't. But friends, as we approach Christmas, I want to say here is the comforts of Christmas. Here is the comforts of this season that we are approaching. Here are the comforts for us in a season of suffering. Jesus became one of us in order to sympathize with us and in order to be a savior to us. Brothers and sisters, some of us may have to live through the realities that Christmas is both something that crushes us and comforts us at the same time. But please let the Christmas story be a comfort to you. Let it come alongside you. See if you can cut through, as it were, the tinsel and the trees and everyone singing Christmas songs in the shops. If you can cut through all of that, then what you see as you come to the Nativity story, what you see is a huge comfort to us in our sufferings. Let Christmas this year declare to our souls as a church family, as we've been through a season of suffering, let it declare to us that God knows what it is to be fully human. He knows what it is to experience humanity. He knows what it is, and he is concerned for us in our sufferings. Do you believe he's concerned for you? He is a merciful high priest, able to bring heaven's mercies and helps right into where we are. and he wants to help us. That's why he came. That's why he was assigned by God as a merciful and faithful high priest. And he came to save us ultimately from the sufferings of this world by atoning for sin and promising us something better. It's little wonder, is it, that chapter 3, verse 1, if you cast an eye down there, says this. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, therefore, Enfield Town Community Church, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Run to him. Don't be tempted to drift from him. Seek his help. Let Christmas comfort you in our season of suffering. Friends, let's pray together, shall we? Our God and Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus, who became fully like us in every way. Thank you that he shared our physical life. Thank you that he shared our emotional life. Thank you that he shared our sufferings. Thank you that he has tasted of death, that he might set us free from our fear of death. Father, we praise you for Jesus this morning. We thank you for his care for us. We thank you that he has appointed a faithful and merciful high priest, one who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, one who is able to bring us the aid that we need. And Father, we would come today as a church family and say we need that aid. We need the help of Jesus. Please help. And Father, thank you that Jesus came to be a savior for us, atoning for our sins. Father, we praise you for him. Thank you that he has saved us from our sins. Thank you that he will save us from our sins when he returns again. Father, we praise you for him. Father, please comfort us with these truths today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.